the Lord's Day, I want to begin with a confession. I told my wife last night, I typically work on the sermon during the week and try to get it finished up by the weekend. And I followed my usual pattern this week. But for some reason, I was just unsettled last night. And I told her, I said, I'm just nervous. I don't understand what it is. And so we talked about it, and I pressed on to persevere and finish up the sermon. And I got here today, and I just had no peace about it. Couldn't identify what the issue was, but I just knew that I wasn't supposed to preach what I had. Now, that's bad for me. To show up on a Sunday morning and having prepared all week, and I'm not an impromptu kind of guy. But that's the story. So I've got just a little bit to talk to you about. And obviously, you know, I hadn't had much time to prepare, because I got here at 9, and a lot of other things had to go on between now and then. So I tell you that to say I need you to pray for me, and we're going to see what God has to say to us in these few minutes, and I'll be done. All right? I want to talk to you for a few minutes from Psalm 103. I want to talk about the whole psalm, but I'll just read one verse. Can you all stand as I read one verse, verse number 1 from Psalm 103? What a tremendous word of exhortation for you and I. Psalm 103 and verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Father, help us now to hear from you, to know what you are saying, to understand what you mean by what you're saying, and then, Lord, to find grace to go on and live the life you're calling upon us to live for Christ. We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. You may be seated. Our simple subject for today is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Some psalms are written to address God. Other psalms address people. Like some of the psalms address Gentiles, or some psalms address Israel or other nations. But David here writes this psalm, and he speaks to himself, which is something for us to think about. There are times that the Christian needs to speak to himself. And so, God gives us a pattern here for you and I to begin to understand how a Christian at times needs to face life and the challenges of life, because the fact is that life and its circumstances under the sun has its effect on you. You don't always wake up ready to worship God. Is that true? You don't always wake up with your heart on fire and your mind. I mean, we like to sing about that. I thank God there are times that you wake up with your mind fixed on Jesus. But there are the times that you wake up and your heart is heavy and you're weighed down by guilt or other problems or the pressures of life. That's real living. And so there are times when the soul needs to be stirred up. And there's nobody but you and God. Can't get to church. Can't get to your CD player. Can't get to the television. But that does not mean you can't be stirred up. I think that it behooves us to realize you don't need all of those crutches that we depend upon to stir the heart for worship. So there's times that you and I, like David, need to speak to ourselves. Address your own heart to stir it up for worship. So this psalmist begins with this great expression, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." There's sometimes you just have to wake up and by an act of your will, just express that to God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." My emotions hadn't caught up with me yet, but I'm going to bless the Lord because I know He's worthy. The word "bless" means an expression of appreciation. Because whenever you wake up, whatever the situation, you can thank God. Amen? So it's an expression of appreciation, of gratitude. It's an expression of writers said respect and joint relationship and goodwill with God. But you notice that David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." So God's intent is that worship would be more than just lip service. Worship needs to come from the heart. And that's the reason we need to be engaged. We need to spend time. You need to speak to your soul. Your heart needs to be engaged. I mentioned this to some of you before. It's really extraordinary when you find yourself distracted and tempted. When you begin to quote Scripture, God actually uses the Word of God to remove distractions. He'll use it just as He did with Christ there when He was tempted. Christ spoke the truth. The Word of God is powerful. And sometimes you need to hear it coming from your own lips. The Word of God will help you, my brother, my sister, when the distractions are there. Even here in worship service, you know as well as I do, there's times your mind will wander. You need to be, your mind, the Word of God will help bring your mind back from those places of wandering and temptation. And so, worship from the heart means that distractions are removed. It means you have a clear conscience and a clean heart. If you're going to worship God from all that is within you, you've got to be real with Him. So the few minutes that I had this morning, I began to think about something. And I ask you the same question that I began to think about. Has your heart been stirred? Have you been moved at all by the Scripture reading today? Have you been affected at all by the prayers? Has your heart been affected and stirred and engaged at all by the songs? By the teaching? I believe that it would be disingenuous for any of us to just run past that as if it does not apply. We have to bless the Lord not just with our lips, but with our hearts. That's what He wants. And if you're settling for less than that, the only thing I can say is that God stirred my heart to speak for this a few minutes today for us all to think about it. How do you spend your time of worship? Are you engaged? Or are you just here, going through the motions? Now listen. I only got to look at one or two quick. Again, it's challenging to put a sermon together in an hour. But I only got to look at one or two commentaries and see. But you need help. You need help. And I remember one of the guys said this. When it comes to worship, the Christian needs to realize you got reasons. And you know what he said? Yeah. Count your blessings. Yeah. That's it. That's what this psalm does. How are you going to count them if you don't take time to figure out what they are? Right? Some of the reason that we don't worship when we come together is you have not taken time to count your blessings. You've spent so much time doing other things that you have not taken time to count your blessings. And that's all I want to do for a few minutes, all right? That's what David did here. When he got his heart engaged, he began to count his blessings. David had a lot of trouble in his life. But when he took time to count his blessings, he was taken up to praise. Praise God with his whole heart. The reasons that mentioned here is that worship begins with remembrance of God's goodness. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Right? Take time to remember God has been good to you. Irregardless of how all of us have difficulties. All of us have trials and troubles and misery. In the midst of it all, God is still good. And He has been good. And He will always be good. Amen. And He proves His goodness to you. If you take time to count your blessings. So let's just rehearse them quickly. The first thing then that we ought to remember is to remember God's forgiveness of your sins. If you are a Christian, every act of praise and adoration and worship, no matter what's going on in your life, you can begin right there. I've got reason to praise God because my sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah! You'll never be held accountable for the penalty of your sins. Isn't that wonderful? What better gracious gift could you have? You will never be held accountable for the penalty. Oh. You see how he says it? Forget not all his benefit who forgives all our iniquities. All. Can you, do you hear it? All. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Why? Because He's forgiven all of my iniquities. It's unfathomable Not one sin will be charged at the judgment. Oh! Not one. Verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful for that? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Praise the Lord. Remember God's forgiveness of your sins. This would be a great time for you to do that. Don't wait for the next verse. I don't have a whole lot to say today. This would be a great time for you to take a moment and remember how much God has forgiven you. When is the last time you stopped and thought about your life? See, I don't know your life. I know mine. And I know I'm thankful that God won't hold. There are people that won't forgive me. But, oh, God does. Isn't that amazing? People may not forgive you down here, but God does. If you love him, if you love Christ, take time to think about what you've been forgiven for. There are ugly things that you haven't told anybody. I know it's true in my life. Isn't it true in yours? And for me, there are things that I have forgotten that I did. And occasionally, it'll come back as a reminder. Don't forget, that's the great benefit of grace. Your sins, you see, all of your sins have been forgiven. That's one way to stir your soul. Stir up your soul in the mornings by remembering that he forgives all your iniquities. Another thing to not forget is that God is your healer. The end of verse 3, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness, with steadfast love and mercy. Let me just say this as I pass on. Medicine nor doctors can heal you. We understand that, don't we, Christian? No medicine that has come from God's good earth heals. No doctor created by God's good hand can heal. God alone heals. What's the point of the verse? Anytime you have ever been healed from any disease, who did it? God did it. And when you take time to think about it, God has been good to you. How many times you've been down, sick? How did you get up? It wasn't the medicine. It wasn't the doctor. God did it. He heals all our diseases. Anytime you get up, God did it. Don't take getting up for people die from cold. How did you get healed? God did it. Thank him. Thank him. Remember that God is your healer. Then verse 5 says, remember that God satisfies, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. At such a time as this, all of us need to remember God can make you happy. God can satisfy you in your present situation. Stop thinking that if you had more of this and more of that and a little easier this and a little easier that, that you'd be satisfied. God satisfies. And you need to remember, He alone satisfies you. Hasn't He done it before? Yes, He has. Didn't change your situation, but made your soul satisfied. God. And you see what the psalmist is doing? He's saying, don't forget this. If you remember these things, you will be ready to worship. If you'll remember these things, you won't need somebody having to cheerlead you. You'll be ready to worship because you've met with God. And He's reminded you, I've been good to you. Yeah. At these times, we need to thank God for His goodness to us. In America, it's so tempting to do a comparison. Everybody in the room had food. Everybody in the room's got clothes. Everybody in the room got here some kind of way. Everybody in the room is if you're cool, you got a way to get warm. Is that right? At your house, thank God that he's provided a way for comfort. God's good to us. Good. God is good to us. And then he says, for those of you who are concerned about the unfair treatment you're having in life, those who are concerned that you're not getting the kind of pay raise that you should have and getting injustice in many ways down here, says, remember that God will bring justice for His people. Look at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. God will bring justice for His people. There's hope in your injustice. You believe that? There's hope. If you have to die in injustice, God will make it right. You don't have to get concerned that you didn't see it made right before you left. Some of us have injustice in the workplace. It may never change, but God will make it right. Some have injustice in your school system or in the scholastic environment. You know that you've been done wrong. It may never change. God will make it right. Some have injustice in your neighborhoods, many venues in life. Some of us are going to die, and injustices will not change. But God says, remember this, I have not forgotten. There's hope. Trust me with all your heart, and remember, I will bring justice when I come. You need to remember that. It'll keep you from wringing your hands when you wake up and your mind is drawn toward a situation that's unfair. And then finally he says, remember that God knows your weakness. Aren't you thankful for that? Remember that God knows your weakness. Verse 14. For he knows your frame, our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commands. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. God knows your weakness. Nothing about you takes him by surprise. So when you wake up in the morning, you don't have to feel like you've got to tell God things. He knows how you feel. You ever think about that? When you go to pray, you aren't telling God something that he doesn't know. What God wants is honesty. Don't pretend with him. That's what the psalmist is, honest with God. He's real. Sometimes you wake up angry. Does that ever happen to anybody? Sometimes you wake up frustrated, discouraged. Is that true? Sometimes you wake up and you don't want to talk. You don't feel like praying. Is that true? That's real Christian living. God knows that. He knows your weakness. But he says, still come to me. Just like you are. Just as you are. Come to me. I know what you're feeling. And I'll help you. Isn't that good? I'll help you.
Then the psalm ends by answering, who should praise God?
Who should praise God? First of all creation in heaven is to praise God. You see that in verse 20 and 21? Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. All of creation in heaven is to praise God because God is their maker, he's their sustainer, and they know apart from him, they exist because of him. Who else should praise God? All of creation on earth. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. I don't know how this is going to work out, but somehow or another, all creation is going to praise the Lord. That's what Romans 8 teaches. It says all creation is actually waiting for Jesus to return. Don't you want to see what creation is like when sin is removed? What a tremendous thought to see what plant life and animal life is like without the effects of sin. Well, the animals will be at peace with one another. And man, people will actually be at peace with one another. All creation on earth is to praise the Lord. And then finally, every saint, bless the Lord, O my soul.
So I end where I began. Don't you have reason to bless the Lord today? Don't you have reason to worship and praise God today? What's keeping you from doing that? Have you taken time to remember that he's forgiven all your iniquities? That he is your healer? He's your provider. He's your protector. He will bring justice Have you taken time to remember that it's by God that you live and move and have your existence? Have you taken time to reflect on the fact that He's kept you since last Lord's Day? You're here today because God is good to you? Have you taken time to see, I've got good reason to praise God? And if you don't praise Him, what are you holding your praise for? If you don't use your praise for God, what you will praise something. So the question is, if God is not worthy of your praise, who is? Just behooves all of us to take time and realize these are precious days that we live in. It's not promised that we will continue to have these great opportunities. You need to praise the Lord while you can. You need to bless the Lord while you can, while you have opportunity. Adore Him while you can. And realize that you've got good reason, irregardless of your situation. And my friend, if you don't know Jesus, then you don't know what I'm talking about, because you haven't known the experience of having your sins forgiven. You haven't known the experience of having the weight and that guilt, that crushing weight and guilt removed from your soul. You haven't known the experience of having your soul free, of having your soul actually looking forward to going to heaven. The experience of having your soul looking forward to leaving this life and going to the next. If you don't know that great experience, today would be a good day when we bow and meditate for you to get real with Christ. God alone forgives. And my friend, if you'll trust Him, He'll forgive yours. He'll forgive yours. You believe that? Yes, He will. Father, thank You. For the truth that meets us where we are, for causing us to remember Your great goodness and benefits toward us. Lord, I pray that You would enable us to continue to stir our own hearts, to stir our own souls, to worship and praise. Continue to stir us to look away from ourselves and see the Lord. Stir us, stir great grace in our hearts right now, that we may have this day clean hearts and a clear conscience, clean hands and purity in our worship. We need You, Father. We want this testimony of David to be our own. We want to bless the Lord with all our soul and all that is within us, because we know that You are worthy. May this be true for today and every day for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow together for just a moment.